Welcome to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related, presented by the Physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists. I'm your host, Susan Curtin. Today, we have Dr. Trey Baucom of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists located in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we're discussing procedure prep. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Baucom.
Thank you for having me, Susan.
So we thought it'd be interesting if we were to look at a day in the life of a doctor in your position. So what is your day like as you prepare for a scheduled procedure?
I hope this is interesting anyway. It is to us. So our days are different. We have procedure days, clinic days, call days, and sometimes there's a combination. And so some days I see patients in the morning and then do procedures in the afternoon. Some days I do procedures in the morning, office in the afternoon, and some days I do procedures all day, or I'm on call all day, meaning I'm available for emergencies that come in. And everyone is a little bit different, but if you know you're going to have a difficult procedure, first of all, I like to do those in the morning. I do not like to postpone those. I like to do that first thing in the morning. And if it's staged, so I know this patient's coming in, I will review what I'm going to do ahead of time. A lot of times, one of the great things about ACS is I have several great interventional partners. And if I have something I'm worried about, I'll review the case with them ahead of time, or we'll even present it at cath conference ahead of time. Talk about it, talk about what equipment to use, whether or not they think I've got the right approach, if they have any helpful suggestions. Most doctors end up doing the procedure alone, although once again, our partners will quickly come in to help if it's something that they do particular or they're especially good at it, we'll have them come in and help us. And so when you have a staged procedure, you know you're going to do, in some ways it's good because you can prepare for it. Of course, that also allows the doctor more time to worry about it. And we worry about these things. We may give the appearance that ho-hum, it's just another multivessel angioplasty. No, we worry. And we like to make sure we have a good plan. And of course, you know, things change in procedures. You know, it doesn't always go the way you had intended, but we like to have a good plan going into it. So that's how I prepare. And of course, for emergencies, it's the opposite of that. You can't know and it just comes in. But on my days that I have procedure day that I know what I'm going to do, I like to think about it ahead of time and sort of have a plan.
That's interesting. So you do consult with your partners. And how does that play into everything that you do?
Yeah, that's, like I said, in my mind, that's one of the greatest things about ACS. I mean, not only do I have multiple nice partners that are just, you know, world-class cardiologists and a tremendous wealth of information, but we also subspecialize. Like, I specialize in rhythms and devices, but I have partners that specialize in structural heart disease. So if you have a hole in your heart that's not supposed to be there, I've got a partner that knows how to fix that. And not only knows how to fix it, but knows when it needs to be fixed or when it needs to be left alone. I have a partner that specializes in valvular heart disease, so he can go up your leg and replace your valve without having to open your chest. That's called TAVR. And so that's a great benefit to the patients, a great benefit to me. So if I have a patient I think needs TAVR, for instance, I will do the heart cath ahead of time, take pictures, take the measurements, but often call Dr. Reeves and say, have I gotten all the information you need, or is there something else? Or if this case is a little bit unusual, like I have a patient the other day that already has a prosthetic, so a fake valve in his mitral position, but now it's gone bad. It's about 12 years old and it needs to be replaced. Well, Dr. Reeves can actually go up his leg and replace that valve without having to open his chest a second time, which is going to be an enormous benefit to that patient. But it's a complicated procedure, and so we have to take a lot of measurements, we have to take a lot of pictures. So we work in collaboration with each other all the time about this. If I have a patient, a young patient that has a stroke, for instance, and I do a test that shows they have one of these holes in their heart, then I'll do another test called a transesophageal echo in conjunction with my partner that fixes those to make sure I've gotten all the data he needs. If they have a patient with a low heart rate or an arrhythmia that they think would benefit from a device, they call me and we collaborate about it. And not only is that a benefit, and it helps the stress of being a cardiologist, because it can be a very lonely profession when you feel like you're the only one in the room and it's a lot of pressure. It helps tremendously to have partners who are willing to help, who are knowledgeable, and who have special expertise that I don't have.
And as a patient, I can imagine it's very comforting to know that maybe all those bases are covered, no matter what the problem is.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, as we joke sometimes, you know, patients don't want to hear they're a very interesting case because that usually means it's rare or possibly has higher complications. But like I said, when we present you at cath conference, it's almost always beneficial to the patient because sometimes they think of something I didn't think of, or you know, we come up with a better plan, and it's a huge benefit.
So what about during the procedure? How do you like the room? Do you like for it to be quiet? Do you like music?
Actually, I like music, and we listen to all different kinds. I love music in general, and I will listen to fairly hard rock and roll to opera. And I would say I've figured out that when I'm doing a procedure, I like it to be fairly soft. I like it to be sort of down tempo. I don't like anything too aggressive because, like I said, it can be nerve wracking in procedures. And procedures can go from ho-hum to terrifying in a split second. And so I don't like any banging music in the background, but a little soft music is good. The room doesn't have to be absolutely quiet. I mean, people have to talk. We have to interact with each other. But I do like the chatter to be kept to a minimum, particularly if it's behind my back. When I'm concentrating on the patient and two people behind me are discussing something completely unrelated, I will make a comment. So it doesn't have to be absolutely quiet, but I do like the talking to be kept to a minimum unless it's about the patient.
Right. So just focused on the job at hand.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned how things can go from 0 to 60 very quickly. Emergency procedures, you know, those that aren't as predictable. What is it like to enter the emergency room for a high risk case?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes, so if someone comes in with a heart attack, how quickly you treat that heart attack is measured and reported. So the doctor, a cardiologist, is expected to be able to get the patient into the cath lab, go up the artery in their leg to their heart, diagnose the problem, get a wire past the blockage, open it with a balloon, all in less than 90 minutes. And wow. So in the back of your mind, you're trying to be very deliberate in what you do, but quickly. You're trying to move as quickly as you can because study after study has shown that the faster you get that artery open, the more myocardium or heart muscle you preserve, the better that patient is going to do long-term. Their survival, the function of their heart, they're going to do better the faster you get that artery open. And so we feel that pressure. But like I said, try to be focused just on the patient care. If someone comes into the emergency room and they're critically ill, I mean, they are on death's door and we're going to take them to the cath lab, there's pressure, but sometimes there's actually less pressure than that. Because you can honestly look the patient and their family in the eye and say, you know, Mr. Jones is in deep trouble. I'm going to do everything I can. There's actually more pressure when it's a 40-year-old man or woman with a waiting room full of children and you're taking them in for an elective procedure because, you know, they're walking and talking and doing fine and you're about to do some work on their heart. So if they have a bad outcome, I find that more stressful. Now, most of them do great, fortunately. So what we call the crash and burns, meaning the very sick people that present to the emergency room, it is stressful. It's often in the middle of the night, but oddly enough, in some ways that is less stressful than the elective procedures that we do at other times. At least I'm speaking for myself.
So what is your favorite thing about being a cardiologist?
I've thought about this a lot too. I think my favorite thing about being a cardiologist is that it changes all the time. It really doesn't get boring. I mean, just when you think it's sort of getting into a rut, they invent something new, some new device, some new medicine, some new treatment plan for patients. And I've been doing this long enough now that patients that died early in my career, there's now something that could have helped, that would have helped them tremendously. And so I see a lot of benefit and I see that evolving with time. And so it's exciting. It's fun. It's a fun profession. You have to keep up. You're expected to read and study and go to conferences, but on the other hand, that makes it fun because it's always changing.
Well, we're certainly glad you chose it, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
To learn more about advanced cardiovascular specialists, visit acsdoctors.com.